just with everything I do it to the best of my ability. So when I'm standing on the starting line, I'm looking back with 100% confidence, knowing I spent every day doing what I could to get closer to whatever goal I'm working towards. And I'm pretty strong in my faith, and just knowing, like, I worked really hard, and if it's the Lord's will, it's going to happen for me. And I kept telling my dad leading up to the Olympic trials, "Dad, go get your darn passport." And he went and he got the paperwork, he filled it out, but he's like, I'm not going to submit it until I know for sure you made the team. So I don't know what it was. I just had this feeling in my heart and my soul that I was going to make that team. And I was doing the work every day to back it up.
Welcome to For the Long Run. We explore the why behind what keeps runners running long, strong, and motivated, and how they've been able to achieve sustainable excellence. From Olympians to ultramarathoners and business owners, from the back of the pack and all the way to the front, we believe in creating community and expanding the running world for all. I'm your host, Jonathan Levitt, and we're so glad you're here. Join us in our new community, The Group Run, and have a chance to win some great goodies from 2Before, pre-workout fuel to fuel your training this season. We are excited to create more connections there, and we hope you'll join us. Check the link in the show notes to join. Here at For the Long Run podcast, we've been fans of Puma long before we ever worked with them as partners. So we're excited to be partnering with them again and bringing you all the latest from the brand that helps us be forever faster. Puma cares deeply about making running more accessible, as well as chasing after excellence. From elite athletes who are performing at the highest level to runners who are just getting started, Puma has every type of running shoe you may need. I've been singing Puma's praises for over a year now, and it's been fun to see them getting some love after Fiona and Dakota went 1-3 in the Olympic trials. I've been switching between a trio of the Deviate Nitro, Forever Run Nitro, and Magnify Nitro lately, and highly recommend all of them. Whether you're new to running and buying your first pair of shoes, or it's time for a change, use the code FTLR24 for 20% off all Puma running gear. When you support our brand partners, you support the For the Long Run podcast, and we thank you for that. Thank you again to Puma for supporting the running community in all that they do. You know them and you love them, and we love them too. We are so thrilled to be supported again by one of our favorite brands, one that I use all the time, Skratch Labs. Skratch has everything you need from pre-enduring workout fuel to recovery, and now they have a brand new product that we're psyched about, the Hydration Everyday Drink Mix. This unsweetened drink mix is perfect for when you're thirsty and need electrolytes, but nothing more, which is just about always for us here in Boulder, or you want to add a little electrolyte boost to your other sport drink mixes if you're a salty sweater like me. This stuff is for every athlete, for every goal, and to help support everyday hydration. You can pick up your everyday drink mix at scratchlabs.com and use code FTLRPOD for 20% off your order, or head to the link in the bio. Thanks again to Skratch for supporting the show and our local community. This is a recording from a live panel that I hosted for Puma with Molly Seidel, Dakota Lindworm, and Bill Rogers. Enjoy. Amazing athletes here over the decades here with Puma. We have Bill Rogers. Let's hear it for Bill. Bill has won many marathons in his day. Bill has run amazing fast times, and we're going to talk to him a little bit more about the running in the 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s and 80s, and some of the shoes that he's been running in today. He ran with Puma the Boston Marathon a number of years ago. We have some other athletes, Molly Seidel. Do you guys know Molly? Who knows Molly? Do you know Molly's a trail runner now? And Dakota Lindworm, newly minted Olympian as well. So we're going to talk today about... Puma released a promo recently, or a campaign recently, "See the Game Through Their Eyes." And so what I love about this is it's a way to see the sport that we are all doing through the eyes of an elite athlete. Bill and I were talking about on the run about how the sport is all about longevity, and your ability to perform is based on your ability to stay healthy. And so that's really going to be the framework of this, and understanding the game through their eyes. So let's this time start with Molly. What do you wish people knew about you and your training as an elite athlete that they may not know or might not assume to be true for you as a professional athlete?
So I come from a pretty like interdisciplinary background. When I was in high school, I would be like, I never actually ran in the winters. I would just do cross country skiing and downhill skiing, play a lot of different sports. And I've found that that kind of interdisciplinary approach, being able to feel like a true athlete rather than just a runner sometimes, has been really instrumental to staying healthy. And that's something that I'm trying to get back to a little bit more with some of this trail running. And I think it's being able to take a slightly broader approach, a little bit more holistic approach, is really, really important. Never getting locked into one thing too much.
Bill, about an hour ago, we were talking about the fact that running is not just a single season, it's a lifetime. You ran in these shoes in the Boston Marathon. First of all, let's hear it for that. Look at these shoes. These are the shoes. They still stink. Bill, how come you're still able to run today?
You know what? I think like Molly, I started running cross country when I was a kid, 15 years old, with my brother and our best friend. It was very low key, and we had a good coach, but our track was just in the field, you know, five laps to the mile type thing. And cross country, we didn't run as far as runners are going today, going the 5K and everything, but it was very low key. The backwardness to the sport then was there was no girls team then. And that was because World Athletics was backwards, you know. But I think if you're a member of a team, that's key. Don't you think,
oh, yeah.
Molly, Dakota, you know, because you need someone to run with. Otherwise, you'd never get going, I think. And that's why we're here. But I think also later when I went to college, I met a guy named Andy Burfoot. He's right there. Boston Marathon winner in 68, and he took me out on the trails, and I never ran that much mileage. And we did like a 12-mile run or something. My legs were cramping. It was so much fun. But I learned about running on dirt in nature is what Molly's talking about, you know, and that's all of us are experimenting with. But that way you avoid injuries, running on dirt. Because concrete is no give in asphalt. And that's the challenge of the marathon. When we go to the marathon, we're hitting that, you know. What do you think, Molly and Dakota?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, we were talking about it before. I did the 26-point true marathon yesterday, 20 miles of it, and it was all on pavement. And I'm like, oh, I haven't run on pavement in a while. But I think it's really important to be able to, yeah, respect your body, know that you've got to give it different stimulus, be hitting it in different ways, build strength in different ways.
Yeah, and I think that makes it fun, too. Like, when you switch it up, it keeps it fresh, and then you have a good time doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But what if you go up, and like, you're in Rocky Mountains or something? I hate heights. It's a phobia. I can't do...
Okay, hiking is the worst.
I know.
It's so slow.
I was in Arizona with my partner, Karen, and we went out in Phoenix. There's all these big cliffs and everything. And I could go a little bit of a ways, but she, like, doesn't have the phobia. So it's mental, like running is mental. But something, I think I'd have to go to see a psychologist do that. But I think I'm going to stay at sea level.
Bill, I'm actually just going to turn this over to you if you want to ask the questions. This is great. Have you thought about having a podcast? So a bit more on the tactical side. So you guys have been talking about switching up the services and keeping it fun. People who are listening are like, oh, maybe I live in Boston. How do I do that? Molly, you lived in Boston. How did you do that?
Okay, Boston is incredible for trail running. Sorry, I keep not talking into this. I will proclaim to the world that Boston is the best running city in the country because not only do you have all of the city running of going on the Esplanade, going down the Emerald Necklace, going down to JP, where every time I'm going around Jamaica Pond, I'm like, Bill Rogers ran Jamaica Pond. I can run Jamaica Pond. But then you go a little ways outside the city. And when I lived here, luckily I had a car and I would drive out to the Middlesex Fells. I would drive down to the Blue Hills down in Quincy. I would go out to Concord and run in the Great Meadows, like all of the trails out there. There's a great diversity of like running surfaces out here. You just got to know where to look for it.
I totally agree with it. I think, but every city has their places. When I'm not from Boston, I'm from Newington, Connecticut, a little town outside of Hartford. But when it came to Boston, I was an ex-runner. I was a smoker. Are there any ex-smokers here? You know, I always ask that question, and there's And I guess people have given up smoking and everything.
That's what they call
Poyang's
altitude.
What? That's that. I don't think it did me any good. But when I moved here, I joined a running club, and that was the key. Because then your friends take you out.
Exactly, yeah.
Isn't it true?
I mean, that's the best part of being in Boston. There's always a crew to go with.
So where are you? You're in Flagstaff now, I think.
I've gotten out of the city, sorry.
I remember when you were living here, I've heard your story, and of course, Karen and I were cheering for you when you're running the Olympic marathon. I said, what? How does she do it? It's like 86 degrees in Tokyo, and this is tough, tough running. And I don't understand how you did it. It's your mindset. But can you tell us about that day?
We're just turning it over to Bill. My God, you're like an expert at this. See you, John.
It's here for Bill.
I think some of it, it's learning to deal with some of the adversity of, like, by nature of training in Boston, it's not the perfect training conditions. It's really hot in the summer. It sucks in the winter. But I think when you're used to doing that and knowing that you just got to get out and get it done regardless of what the conditions are, I think it builds a little bit of resiliency. And I mean, Dakota's living, you're up in Minnesota. Like,
coldest place on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. There is literally no place colder. And so I think a little bit of that, when you are constantly training your brain to deal with that adversity on a daily basis, by the time you get to the race, you know you can handle whatever it throws at you because you're used to it. Dakota, you can speak to this too.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're having that adversity, you show up to practice and you're like, okay, it's not going to be an A day. So then when that happens in races, you're like, okay, it's not an A day, but I've done this before. I've challenged myself through this.
You know, it's just flipped me out because I have one other question. Sorry, got to ask this because I wasn't thinking of it. But the Kenyans and Ethiopians are so determined. They have the eye of the tiger and everything. But do you think, or the eye of the puma, I'm going to say, okay? But when you were in Tokyo, and you lined up with all these great runners, the best of the world, from all the countries of the world, which is what the Olympics is about, representing your country. Weren't you nervous as heck? Or did you let go of that and just move up and say, I got to race? Did you know who you should race with, do you think?
Yeah, I think with getting to that race and having, the context of it is qualifying a week before the pandemic started, and that entire marathon build and that year and a half postponement occurred during the pandemic, and it was tough and it sucked at times. I, for a year and a half, did not do a single run outside here in Boston without wearing a mask. Middle of summer, you are breathing through a mask and it's tough. But I think overcoming all of that and finally getting to the line, I stepped to the line in Tokyo with such a level of obviously nerves, but also gratitude, because it was really uncertain whether or not that race was going to happen. So I think I was able to let go of some of these expectations that I was holding myself to. I'm like, I'm so grateful that I get to be on this line despite everything that's happened in the world, travel internationally, and represent my country here. And I think that opened me up to a performance that I couldn't have believed could have happened even a year before then.
So it was COVID that made you, in a certain way, relax, because we all, there's no competition.
Oh, it gave me terrible anxiety.
Well, yeah. I remember running down the road with a mask, and you see someone on the road, and we had to cut the other side of the road. It was sadness. Yeah. I had a relative very close to me hit with COVID. So we all know about COVID, bad sadness. But I think maybe that's what gave you your strength.
Yeah, and I think it gave the opportunity to just grow a lot, if the Olympics had happened that year before, I wouldn't have won the medal. It gave me the chance to grow stronger, to train, to prepare myself to grow up a bit. Yeah.
What a weird sport we're in.
Bill, I'm loving these questions. I'm going to have to give the mic.
Bring him on as a co-host.
I know. I'm going to. What are you doing every Friday? talking about trusting the process and believing that what you're doing is eventually
potentially going to work out, but maybe not. But if you believe in that process, you'll get to a place that that you want to be. I think Dakota knows where this is going. I watched the Olympic trials in Orlando with Puma and watched it next to Dakota's aunts, who just kept talking about how proud they were of her. And they just kept saying, she's so confident in herself and she's just putting herself out there, but doing it in a way that's smart. She's trusting her skills. She's trusting her ability, and she's not going out too quickly, which if you're running on Monday, don't go out too quickly. Trust me. I've done it twice. Dakota, how do you trust that process? How do you trust your skills and abilities? Nobody in this room who's running on Monday can do anything else from a physical training perspective, but they sure as hell can do something from a mental perspective.
I think the big thing for me is just with everything I do it to the best of my ability. So when I'm standing on the starting line, I'm looking back with 100% confidence, knowing I spent every day doing what I could to get closer to whatever goal I'm working towards. And I'm pretty strong in my faith and just knowing, like, I worked really hard, and if it's the Lord's will, it's going to happen for me. And I kept telling my dad leading up to the Olympic trials, Dad, go get your darn passport. And he went and he got the paperwork, he filled it out, but he's like, I'm not going to submit it until I know for sure you made the team. So I don't know what it was. I just had this feeling in my heart and my soul that I was going to make that team. And I was doing the work every day to back it up.
On that note, how early did Montana put the Eiffel Tower on his Apple Watch background?
That was just actually a couple weeks ago.
Amazing.
If you've been enjoying this podcast and can spare 90 seconds of your time today, can you do me a favor? Can you pop over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review? It helps other people find and enjoy the podcast too. Thanks so much.
This episode is brought to you by our friends over at Boulder's one and only marathon, the Boulderthon. Last year when I went to the expo and spectated the race, I was blown away by how incredibly well run it was, but also how much of a community focus it had. Boulderthon is not only a marathon, but also a half marathon, 10K, 5K, and even a kids run. It has a little something for everyone. And just like I do, the folks at Boulderthon believe that running brings people together in a beautiful way. We both believe in the power of running and what it helps us learn along the way. So as you're planning your races for 2024, we highly recommend signing up for one of the races at Boulderthon, even if it's just an excuse to come to one of the most beautiful places in the country, Boulder. As part of our partnership with Boulderthon, we will be awarding one lucky winner the Rookie of the Year Award. They'll win a prize purse in addition to some rad gear from our brand partners, and we'll tell that new runner's story right here on the podcast. Sign up for Boulderthon at the link in the show notes and use code FTLR20 for $20 off the half or full marathon. We're excited to be partnering with the Boulderthon team and can't wait to see you there. I'm also on the board, so I'll have a hand in more than just sharing the race with runners on the podcast. I'm a runner, but I'm also so many other things, and I'm sure that rings true for you too. We love this community because of all the many interests that we all have, making us multifaceted humans. That's why we're so excited to be partnering with Fubo.tv, the one-stop shop for you to take in all of your favorite live sports that you love to watch. It's baseball season, and Fubo's got you covered there. Want to watch March Madness? They've got the entire women's tournament and some of the men's games, too. Want to watch the Boston Marathon live? Fubo. Want to get psyched on watching track and field events this summer? Yep, they've got that, too. Want to stream the Olympics? Fubo. They're setting our listeners up with a free 14-day trial using the link fubotv.com/FTLR, or click it directly in the show notes. You'll also get a $20 discount on your first month when you sign up for a monthly plan. Thank you to Fubo for supporting this community. Bill, let's jump back to the shoes here. So these are they're actually floating. As I hold them, it's going up because they're so light. Will you hold these for a second? So your toes were poking out a little bit there, it looked like. But these are quite different than even the shoes the trainers you're in today, with the wonderful nitro foam that the Puma team has developed here. Talk to me about the changing of the shoes, the changing of the technology, and if you had these shoes in the 70s and 80s, what are you running?
You know, I think, you know, I started running in the 60s, but when I got these shoes, I think whatever shoes you're in, you're trying to make the best, and you're trying to explore it. There weren't so many shoe companies around years ago. I remember New Balance cranking up and everything, but when Puma was starting, I ran for Puma for 3 years. And but I think that everything has changed. You know, it's a big business now, you know, and it wasn't such a big business years ago and everything, so I think that was part of it. I mean, look at Abib Bikila. He won the Olympic Games barefoot because he was used to running barefoot. You know, his feet were very strong. So I think having strong feet is part of it. And I think by, you know, that running, like we've been talking about, running on grass and dirt, it helps us avoid injuries and everything. So I think I did that. I don't know what to say except that I'm just glad to be here still as an older runner. And, you know, and could I just say one thing? Andy is running Boston this year, and he won it in 68. He's a couple years older than me. And there's so much happening in running today, with women coming in so much over the last 20 years or so, and 30 or something like that. And you know, from the days of Jackie Hansen, Bobby Gibb, you know, and Nina Kusick, all those early veterans of the sport. But also, the gentleman next to him is 80 years old, and he's going to run Boston. I'm saying, how does he get his mind? That would be scary. It's that leap of faith that we all have to do, I guess. Is that marathoning? But I think it's, you know, that the shoe companies and Puma is coming back, making a big comeback. And so when I ran these, I was wearing a pair of shoes that were not cushioned enough because I was always used to wearing shoes without much cushioning, but you feel less soreness in your legs, and we all know that now. So I've learned that too. And I have to run with my partner. She's younger than me a bit and trying to kick me into the ground. So it's your training partners too. She makes me work a little harder. So you always want one training partner. Don't you think, Molly and Dakota, who will push you a little bit, but one that will go slow, and because we slower than you or whatever, because we need our easy days.
Yeah.
You know, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. You've got to have, like, you know your specific friends that, like, there are friends that I go to when I'm feeling really good that I'm like, okay, we're going to haul this run. And then there are friends that I go to where I'm like, this needs to be a party pace kind of day.
I'm super lucky that I get to train with Annie Frisbee, who blows my doors off on every track workout. She really humbles me. And then I've got my boyfriend who's new into running, and he keeps me going easy. I'll
Are
say
you
that.
Calling
no, no, no. No, I think he keeps me healthy.
That was so cold, girl.
We're going to phone a friend. Montana, do you have any questions? He doesn't have a mic. Let's keep it on Puma for a second. So, Molly, you signed with Puma after the trials and before you'd run in the super shoe. Dakota, Puma bet on you, and here we are. You're going to Paris. What does this brand mean to you? And this question will come back to Bill as well, because I'm super curious to that one. But let's start with Dakota. What does this brand mean to you? And I'm just going to add one comment to it. Look at how many people are in this room. If the shoes weren't great, these people wouldn't be here. But it's the community that this brand has helped to foster, and the way that they treat the people and the way that the employees love it so much. It's just incredible. And everyone that's been a part of putting this event on just cares so much. And so let's give a shout out to the Puma team. And Hugh Boston, the food is fantastic. I imagine there may still be people in line, but thank you all. So Dakota, what does this brand mean to you?
Yeah, when I first signed with Puma, I had really no business getting a professional contract, but they believed in me and they believed in my dream. And at that point, it was really just Molly who had been with Puma, and she really paved the way, and we saw what great things she was doing in the shoes, which really made me believe that they were putting in the time and the effort. And in a lot of ways, I feel like I've gotten to grow with them, because not long after signing with them, I ran a 225 and in their amazing shoes. And, you know, I didn't get 4 minutes faster on my own. It was the help of them and their support and their belief. And I'm just so grateful, because I wouldn't be sitting right here if it wasn't for Puma.
Yeah, it's been such an amazing experience for me to feel like I've gotten to grow alongside Puma Running. I came on with Puma when they started this whole rebrand of getting back into distance running. I had the option to resign at the end of 2020. I was leaving my previous company, and when my agent reached out and was like, hey, Puma wants to talk to you. I'm like, Puma isn't in distance running. And they're like, no, they're trying to start something new. So I went into the Boston offices and met with the entire team, and the energy that I felt and realizing, wow, this is something different. This is something different than anybody else is doing right now, and taking a little bit of a chance. And I told them in the office that day, they're like, what do you want to do in your career? I'm like, I want to win a medal at the Olympics, and I need to find a company that's going to help me do that. Like, if you guys think you can help me do that, I'm going with you. And they're like, we can put you in a shoe that will win you a medal. And I ran my first race a month later in the first iteration of the Deviate. I ran a minute faster in the half, and I was like, I think this is going to work. And 6 months later, I had a medal. And it's been just seeing this growth, seeing two Puma athletes on the podium at the trials when we had no Puma athletes at the last trials. Like, that stuff makes me want to cry. It's stuff like that, that it's this groundswell of support. It's the community. It's the freaking shoes. Like, this is what makes it cool, makes me excited about it. And it's only growing from here.
Bill, how about you?
You know, I ran for 3 years for Puma, and it was almost like now. It's a little deja vu, you know. But the shoes, you know, the shoes are so much better. So Puma was experimenting. They're trying to make their move. Mike Roach, an American Olympian in the steeplechase, ran the program, and he's a guy that I got to know. And but I was kind of beyond my prime, sort of best years. And the tricky thing about running, you know, look how many of us are here. And we're just, how many people are runners in the world? I don't even know how many are, but a lot of people. There's so much competition. And it's such determination amongst runners, you know. And so I remember running here when I think I cracked 212 in these shoes. I remember that. My brother, we had a running store in Boston. So my brother saved my shoes, you know. But I ran pretty solid in it, but I love the new shoes. If I, like Molly said, you know what works for you. But it took me a while, you know. Now I'm like an older runner, and it's like nothing works for me. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, I still love running. You know, I've been a runner like 59 years, something like that. You can, I always say, let's run forever, because it's lifetime. It's lifetime, so that's what we're all trying to do. But your shoes are key. I remember when I lived in JP, running from JP over to Cambridge to pick up a pair of shoes at Brian's Sporting Goods. Because I didn't have any money then. And then running back home. And that's what running was like back in those days when it was smaller. Now, women are here, half our population. It's the way it should be. It should have been then, but the leadership was weak, you know. Now it's strong. Like the BAA is stronger, you know, and they're doing more and more and more. You know, so we're seeing the sport build and grow, you know, but we're all having fun. Though I was at the back of the pack today, I was like, whoa. You're all ahead of me. I hate you. But no, not really. No, I was running with my partner. She stayed with me, so it was cool.
So I think my last question or last topic is going to be around my favorite topic, which is fun. Bill was talking a lot about it, and Molly and Dakota have also talked a lot about it. How do you keep it fun, and how do you keep it... you guys are doing this, the two of you are doing this for your career, and if you're not having fun, what's the point, right? So let's start with Dakota. How do you keep it fun?
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen me run a marathon, but I'm having a heck of a lot of fun, and I like to show that. I think fun is really important because it kind of gets you out of, when you're too serious, you put too much pressure on yourself, and when you're having fun, you're going to be the best athlete you can be. And I don't know, I keep it fun by just keeping it light. Like if this is the best thing I ever do in my career, that's fine. If I never do anything better than making the Olympics, that's going to be okay with me as long as every day I get to get up and go out for a run. Find whatever grounds you in the sport and continue to do that, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I think being able to maintain fun and an open mind in your training is really important because it fosters a lot of creativity. I know we don't think of running as a creative exercise necessarily, but I think when you can hold on to this thing closely but loosely, you open yourself up to approaching your training and your running and your racing in new creative ways and constantly reinventing yourself. Going out and running with people that you never would think to train with who push you. Going out and doing races you never expected. Going out and opening yourself up for running across the city with a pair of shoes to go pick up another pair, or just doing like fun things. I'm going out and doing the Paul Revere Classic tonight where we're relaying from Hopkinton all the way in. It's that kind of stuff where those opportunities open you up to new things. And I think that's the biggest part of it, that I hope that I'm always finding new aspects of running that I love because, I don't know, you're always discovering some new fun piece of the sport.
Are we the luckiest people in the world? I think we are. We're just still a small population, but we are going to take over worldwide sport.
Well, I think that's the best part, too. It's like, where, what other sport can we do where you get to come in with hundreds of other people that love the exact same thing that you do and just hang out on a Sunday morning? This is awesome.
Are there any people here who are in their first year of running or something like that? Or no? Most of you... Maybe so.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you should come up here because running lifts all of us. Lifts every boat. You know what I mean? That's why we're here, you know? And we can feel it in our minds and how we live. And we're all lucky because most people in the world aren't or never got a chance to become a runner. Didn't get chosen to be on a team in high school. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. But here we are. So let's keep going for another, Amby, 20 years maybe? We'll try. My buddy, my good friend. Anyway.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. Bill, you probably should start a podcast or something because I think that was the biggest takeaway from this conversation. Let's hear it for these three amazing athletes. Let's hear it for Puma. I want to give a special shout out to Liz Rock over here. Liz put on all of this alongside her Puma team. She's amazing. And Greg, go Puma. Go Boston Marathon. Let's one more time for the Boston Marathon. Let's hear it.
That's it for today's episode. Like many long runs, it's sad when it has to end. I hope you join in next time on For the Long Run. And in the meantime, happy trails. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean a lot to me if you shared it so that others can find it and enjoy it too. This podcast and the accompanying music has been produced by Brian Walters of Single Track Sound. For the Long Run's logo is created by Vanessa Wolf of Sterling Wolf. Show notes have been written by Ruby Wiles and is managed by Emily Holland. It takes a village.